I really appreciate the laughing. Good evening. I cannot see you. And my subject tonight is entitled Pastoring a Blind Church. Before we go any farther, let me ask you this. I don't want to fall here, okay. Who in the Bible was blindfolded? Does anybody know? Who was blindfolded? We do have to leave at midnight. Who in the Bible was blindfolded? Let's narrow it down. Who in the New Testament was blindfolded?
No, it didn't say
that. Well, we just passed quite a few books. Okay, let's go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Blindfolded.
That's like your pastor just say, I cannot see you. I know you're there because you laughed at me, and that really makes me feel great. In the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the story of a person who was blindfolded. Well, let's eliminate the 12 disciples. It's horrible. No, it just gets, I've not been a good teaching pastor. Okay, let's say it's toward the end of every one of those books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
I still don't remember someone who was blindfolded. Cheat.
No cheating, please. It's not God the Father, and it's God, not the Holy Spirit.
Justice.
That's true, too, but that's not in the Bible. It's not God the Father, and it's not the Holy Ghost. Who's left?
Where was Jesus blindfolded?
Jesus was blindfolded.
When?
At his trial.
I don't remember that. Was he?
He was blindfolded. And then the guys came up to him with a stick, and they hit him on the head. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, who hit you? Who hit you? Aren't you glad you came tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say, and don't do this, but suppose one of you would come up to me with a styrofoam stick and hit me on the head and say, come on, who hit you? Well, it would be very difficult for me to tell you.
But you could probably guess it would be me.
It would probably be the one. But that's what they did to Jesus, people. They blindfolded him, and then they struck him on the head, and they said, okay, prophet, tell us who. And you know, he could have done that. He could have done that, though he was blindfolded. He could have done that. And even, of course, this was a game that people played in his day called Blind Man's Bluff. And it's a game that maybe you played when you were young, too. But as they did this to Jesus, the chances are he would never have known who any of these guys were. He probably never met them in his life. Ah, there you are. You're still there. So tonight, I want to talk to you about pastoring this blind church that we are part of. And once this guy saw some caterpillars that were on the ground, and they were walking, and they got to a vase, and they were going around this large vase. And he noticed that they were starting the circle, but there was a gap between the end and the beginning, and so he got some more caterpillars and he put them in the circle, and you know what happened? They just kept going in a circle. Blind leading the blind, they just caught that way. And I think that maybe we may be caught like that sometimes also. In the Bible, let's don't turn to it, but let's try to do better with Jesus here than we did with Jesus. There were times when God caused blindness. And there was a city called Sodom and Gomorrah, and some of you remember the story, where the men were struck blind by God's power. It's in Genesis chapter 19. They were smote with blindness. And then there's this interesting story about Elisha in 2 Kings 6. God smites the army with blindness, and then they can't see where they're going. And so Elisha says, oh, here's the way, follow me, like the caterpillars. And so Elisha led these guys. Are you sure you're leading us the right way? Oh, this is the way. Okay, watch your step as you can. And of course, he led them in the wrong direction, and he captured the whole entire Syria army. And then in the New Testament, there are two guys, and I'll let you think of these two men, who were struck by God blind.
Saul
was struck blind by God, and the other guy that was struck blind by God working with Paul later. Does anybody remember? Last name starts with, what's the only name starts with an E? Emmaus. Emmaus was struck by God because he was struck by God. So obviously, there are two kind of blindnesses. And have you ever known a blind man? We got physical blindness and spiritual blindness in our study tonight. Have any of you known a blind man? Mm-hmm. Tell me.
I danced with one time.
You danced with a blind man. That sounded like a song.
It was after college, and I was working for a school superintendent. And I went to all the high school dances. I was still young and enjoyed going, you know. And this fellow, I don't remember his name or anything, but he was blind. Mm. And he asked me to dance, and I thought, oh my, you know. And somehow, he...
Led you fine.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Was it asked, did you lead, or did he lead?
Well, he kind of did. I sort of steered. But he was one of the... I don't know who he was. He wasn't a student. He was, I don't really know who he was.
You haven't thought about him for years.
I hadn't, no.
Until I mentioned it, so... If he's still alive, let's ask God's blessing. Let's ask God's blessing on him now, you know, wherever he is. I dated a girl in high school a few times whose father was blind. He was a piano tuner. And he had good ears.
Well, his hearing
had to be good. Right, because his sight wasn't so good. You ever known a blind man?
Just that fellow that came with his wife who had no eyes. Remember?
Right.
Lived in the old parsonage.
Came to our church.
And they lived in the old parsonage. We fixed them up. That was the first time that was turned into an apartment.
I remember him.
Remember?
They had a dog.
Yeah,
yes.
And he had no eyes at all.
We
and she was diabetic
right
and something, and had a heart problem, and had open heart surgery and a pacemaker.
No, I don't remember that, but I trust you on that. My first experience with a blind man was when I went down to the corner store, and I had to be less than 9 because we moved from Memphis at 9. And I went down and bought a Coke or a candy bar, and the blind man gave me the wrong change. I was so excited about the mistake he made, and so I went home telling my mom, rode my bike home, maybe like 4 blocks, that that this guy had made a mistake. And you know what my mom told me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And I really felt good about taking it back, but I probably wouldn't have taken it back had I had a godly mother that suggested that I do that. And I went back home and I said, Mom, how can he do this? How can he, I can't even make change. How can he make this change? She says, well, he just feels the edge of the coin there. And he knows what is what and the size of the coin. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
For quite a few years, there has been
courthouse.
He sees light and dark.
That's the courthouse.
Salt, the courthouse. Mm-hmm. And you could see him fumbling and every, you know, kind of with everything, but he ran.
He ran the whole net
cash register.
Hmm, interesting.
And that you would tell him what you had picked up, and then he would have to trust you. And the money he could seem to tell, though, I don't know how he could ever tell the bill.
That would be difficult. Right.
He must have had him placed in a certain way.
Yeah, but how would he know what you gave him?
I think,
I gave
I
you a 10.
Told him, and I think people...
Probably told him, yes. Probably so. Well, let's say, since we mentioned these particular blind people, there certainly were blind people in the day of Jesus. We know that. And Jesus went up to some. He didn't heal every blind man, but he healed a lot of blind men. And he could have healed, if he was here, the blind men that we've mentioned this evening. You know, he could have walked up to that guy with no eyes. Pooh, zap you with eyes. He can do that. He did that in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, and while you're turning that, Matthew 9:27. Let me quote Leviticus 19:14. You shall not put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. Well, who would do that anyway? Well, You know who would do that. There are a lot of mischievous people in this world who just delight in doing mean things. So the commandment is, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, there is a story here of Jesus healing a blind man. In fact, in this case, there were two blind men, and they followed him. Now, they followed him with great difficulty, just like I had difficulty coming in from my office and fumbling my way up here to the platform. They followed him, and they were calling out. What did they say? Have mercy on us, Son of David. And then when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, now this is Jesus talking, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said what?
Yes,
yes, yes, yes. And then what did he do? And said, according to your faith, will it be done to you? And their sight was restored. Jesus had the power to do that. He has the power to do that today. And we have seen on television and we've read in books where people have literally been able to see as a result of God's power going through anointed individuals today. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 5, there is a story here, again, about a guy, well, several, because it says, the blind receive sight. And of course, with that, there was an accompaniment that the lame were also walking. So there are many stories, but my favorite one is in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, and I don't think we need to read the whole story, but we can just pick up parts of it, and you can help me tell it, if you will. He heals a blind man, and when did this guy get blind?
At
birth. And so, of course, they're trying to trick Jesus, and they said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And of course, Jesus says, neither the man sinned nor his parents sinned, but what happened was what? Something so that the work of God might be displayed in the life of this man. There are people today who believe, well, you're blind because you sinned. You know, you weren't born blind, but something happened in the process of time and you sinned. And because you sinned, God struck you with blindness. And this, of course, was many of the thoughts of people in the day of Jesus. And then the other school of thought was that his parents sinned, so he was born blind because of the sins of his parents, like some kind of venereal disease or something that they had contracted. But Jesus said neither one. The guy did not sin and the parents did not sin to cause the blindness. But the guy is blind, and as a result of that, it is going to be used by me, it's going to be used by God to show the power that I've got. And so he is healed. And he is healed. Do you recall the form in which what was used to heal the guy?
He spit in the dirt, didn't he?
Yeah. That's pretty, well, it, I mean, how would some, the guy comes for church Sunday and he comes forward to be healed of blindness, and so Greg brings some dirt, and you know, you bring a pound of dirt, and I spit in it, and I make a little bit of spittle, and just put it on his eyes. If God told me to do it, I would do it. Let's hope that he chooses other ways. But in the case of Jesus, he did something that was not appropriate, not acceptable, and certainly not in vogue, but he did it. And then he told the guy to go wash his eyes, and he was able to see. And he was asked, how did you get your eyes opened? And he said, Jesus put mud on my eyes. Where is the man? I don't know. Then the investigation goes further, which we'll not go into, but the parents are brought in, and they're afraid of being excommunicated from the synagogue, and so when they are asked by him, do you know what's happening? The parents say, listen, you ask him, he's 21. Well, he says he's of age, he can talk for himself. So that's my favorite part of the healings. There are other listings in the Word of God where Jesus healed people. In Isaiah, let me just turn to Isaiah 35, 5 and read the scripture to you. It says, then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer, etc. The eyes of the blind will be opened. This is a prophetic word that's going to happen, and of course it did happen. And in Isaiah 42, verse 7, along those same lines, it says, to open eyes that are blind, and to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. And this brings us to the blind church that I'm pastoring. I don't want to be a blind pastor leading blind people, but I think that we are, from the pulpit to the pew, blind in certain areas where we need the cataracts, spiritual cataracts, to be removed, and we need an implant, a faith implant, so that we can not be spiritually blind. Isaiah 56:10 says, his watchmen are blind. So it's important for your leader not to be blind, because I'm the guy who is watching. Like the watchmen on the towers of years gone by, they watched for the enemy to come. Well, if they're blind and they can't see, how will they know when the enemy's coming? And so the word is in Isaiah 56:10 that his watchmen are blind. And then in Matthew 15:14, it's... Yes.
I think it's interesting. It says also that they're dreaming, lying down, they love to slumber.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're really not paying attention as a watchman on the tower. They can't sound the trumpet when they're supposed to. Watchmen blind. And then in Matthew 15:14, it talks about the blind leaders of the blind. And this is willful spiritual blindness. But turn, if you will, to Matthew 23:16. Matthew 23:16. Read a few verses after that. It says, woe. Or any other words beside woe in your translations? We'll stick with woe then. Woe to you, blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. He calls them fools. Blind fools. You blind fools. Verse 17. Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. Verse 19. Again, the word blind. Jesus is saying, you blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it, and he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who swears on it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. But three times here at least, he calls these guys blind. If someone came up to me and said, you are just blind. Well, people have said that. If they said that to you too in the past, can't you see? You're blind. You're blind. Of course, the phrase in the vernacular toward love is, you're blind. You're blind. Love blinds a person. Not only that, but there's certain things that we get involved with that blinds us, which we'll look at in just a little bit, with the spiritual blindness that we're in. So with at least 10 times Jesus spoke to people calling them blind people, and he wasn't talking about physical blindness, because these guys could actually see. But he said, you blind, you're blind, because they had closed the shutters of their mind, and spiritually they were blind people. And there are four causes for spiritual blindness in our church. And if it wasn't for the UPS strike, you would have an overlay now. Isaiah 29:13. Isaiah 29:13. I sort of wanted you to see instead of hearing or reading. Four causes. Isaiah 29:13. So you see, even we are being affected by it, because we ran out of the jet overlay transparencies. 29 of Isaiah, verse 13. Somebody read, would you?
The Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but remove their hearts and minds far from me, and their fear and reverence for me are a commandment of men that is learned by repetition without any thought as to the meaning.
Okay. What verse did you stop with?
I read 29:13.
Oh, I read 14 too.
Therefore, behold, I will again do marvelous things with this people, marvelous and astonishing things, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the understanding of their discerning men will all vanish or be hidden.
Okay. The verse 14 says what God will do in changing it, but the verse 13, I say the four reasons why we are spiritually blind, and I could say why I at times, and you are at times too, spiritual blind. Number one, drawing near to God with the mouth only. Drawing near to God with the mouth only. This is seen so clearly in worship services where we come and we sing, and it could be that we are coming to God and we're praising Him and we're drawing near to God only with our mouth. You know, it's so easy to say, praise the Lord, I bless you, Lord Jesus. It's easy to say those things. And so if we draw near to God with the mouth only, it is one cause of spiritual blindness. Secondly, it's honoring Him only with our lips. We've got the mouth, we got the lips, honoring Him only with our lips. We can honor Jesus with our lips. Honor and glory and praise go to you, Lord Jesus. And if we do it only with our lips, then we're blind. Spiritually blind. The third reason in verse 13 is removing our heart from Him. We can actually remove our heart far from God and place our heart's affection on other people or on other things. And the fourth thing is fearing Him only after the precepts of men. So He says, these people come near to me with their mouths, honor me with their lips, hearts are far from me, and the worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. These are reasons for spiritual blindness. But perhaps more clearly is it spoken in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. For sometimes in the New Testament, things are just a little bit clearer to us. This can identify spiritual blindness, and we can take inventory tonight and let the doctor of our eyes take a look at us. Ephesians 4, 18. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. You can add, if your heart gets hardened and you have personal unbelief, you are a good candidate for very bad vision. But it can be healed. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, while you're there.
Hardness of heart to the insensitiveness of their moral nature.
Read again.
Due to their hardness of heart, which is to the insensitiveness of their moral nature.
Okay.
My translation calls it willful blindness.
Yeah.
And if that means that we have chosen, I mean, you're not making me, nor am I making you blind.
Blatantly we're walking in sin, but subtly we justify ourselves.
But praise God in chapter 5, verse 8, for you who were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, live as children of the light. We can be healed, praise God, from this spiritual blindness so we can start seeing more clearly. Further exemplified in chapter 1, verse 13, of Colossians, where it says, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. He rescued us. So we go to the eye doctor and say, help me with my vision. And so when I went to Lens Crafters, they put the machine on my eyes and they did all those kind of things. And they said, you need this type lens so that you can see your people and so you can read your notes. And so after going through the examination, I was able to have the prescription filled, and I can now see. Had I not done that, I still would not be able to see you very clearly. But I can pretty well figure out who people are. Okay, God is telling us we are spiritually blind sometimes because of the hardness of our heart and because of the moral insensitivity or the personal unbelief or spiritual blindness or whatever. But we can get something done about that if we will come to the altar and have Him touch us. Blindness of the heart. I think that's the clearest thing.
Examine our hearts.
Blindness, yes. Examine our heart because of the blindness. And many years ago, Irita Griffith gave me a picture that's in our home office. It shows two eyeglasses, and on the background, I haven't read it for years, but it says something like open your eyes. Not that I may see, but I just thought about that. That I will read it when I get home. But it says something about your eye sight. So just erase the last minute, okay? I'll do that here. We get an examination, and we get correction. Okay, two causes for your blind eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 4. While we mentioned a lot of causes for spiritual blindness, there are two basic things that we look at now. Two verses in conclusion. The first, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, and it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God. Now, while this speaks about unbelievers, there are areas in our life that can be labeled unbelievers too. Not in terms of salvation, of course. But who is the cause here of spiritual blindness? The God of this age. And this is not Jehovah God, it's a little g, which is Satan. And so Satan is a cause of spiritual blindness. It says right here, Satan, or the God of this age, has blinded the eyes. And the second reason is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. First, blindness, spiritual blindness caused by Satan. Secondly, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, spiritual blindness caused by sin. If anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. This is a list of the things that God wants the believers to have. And has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So sin does cause us to be spiritually blind. I, for one, want to see, and I don't want to be blind like I was when I came in. And so for me to see, I'm going to have to say, God, just come and touch my eyes and let me see. And I guess an appropriate song would be, open my eyes that I can may see glimpses of truth. What? Thou hast for me. That's right. And I'd like to invite you to come, if you will, to the altar. And I would like you to come, if you will, to the altar. And I'd like for you to just get a small bit of oil, just a little bit. Nancy?
Try it.
Oh. I don't want you to spill on your husband. I really thought that'd
Shaker.
Be a mess.
Okay. I'm going to spill it on anybody.
Well, everybody wants that. You want to really be anointed. Okay, with one hand on the Bible, symbolism, and the other hand lifted in the sky, Lord Jesus, we lift our hand toward you right now, and we humbly, Lord, ask that you heal us of our blindness. We are blind to our spouse. We are blind to authority. We are sometimes blind to the truth in God's Word. We're blind to what you're even trying to have us do. We're so blind in so many areas, and we do want to see very clearly, just like when Jesus put his hands or fingers upon blind men, they could see. So, Lord, we're placing our hand on the Word of God. We're standing at your altar, and then with our fingers, let's put the oil on our eyelids. Lord Jesus, you can say with me, Lord Jesus, I anoint my eye. I anoint my other eye right now with this holy oil in Jesus' name. And I'm asking now that the light would be transmitted from the Word upon which we hold our hand as representative of Jesus, who was the living Word, that it would just be transmitted through our hand, through our body, as we anoint ourselves right now in Jesus' name. God, I want to see. I want to see the truth that you have. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be blind. And Lord, I pray now that you would just really open our eyes, maybe not necessarily as we speak, but this evening, during the night, in the spiritual dream, tomorrow, through something that we see or we read or we come in contact with, just we will allow ourselves to be in positions where we will have new revelations. We will see things like we have never seen before. God, remove tonight the spiritual cataracts that are on our physical eyes so that we can see internally your word. And as Nancy said earlier, are there any amens?
Amen.
Amen.